Turn with me if you brought your Bible tonight to 1 John chapter number 1. We're going to start there. Trusting God for utterance tonight. Over the last, while you're turning there, I'll say over the last couple of years, one of the focuses of my prayer life, I've mentioned it a little bit in past, but has been, you know, Ephesians 1, praying this eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Just praying for revelation. The revelations that belong to this era. Revelation of the Word. Greater increase in the revelation gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. And things along that line. The plan of God for me, for us, for the church, for the body of Christ at large. You know, the Lord's been saying to me things like there's going to be some Acts 9 kind of events. Yes, where there's divine visitations that turn things in the church that are going the wrong way. Wrong doctrines are become, I mean, there's a new wrong doctrine almost every month or something, you know. It's just getting, I'm talking about in the church world. And God can turn that around with just one visitation where Jesus shows up in somebody influential's office, like he did to Peter when he let down the sheet and showed him the Gentiles were to be saved as well through faith in the blood. And Paul on the road to Damascus, remember? He said, I used to know Jesus after the flesh and persecuted him, but he said, I met him in all his glory. And it turned him. Hallelujah, that's Acts 9. So that's what I mean by Acts 9 events. So I've been praying about that. And, you know, there's been a number of verses. Ephesians chapter number 5, where it says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And, I'm just quoting some of the things I go through. Isaiah, I don't remember the exact reference there, where it talks about, it's in a couple of the prophets, a couple of things that he said. He said, ask of me the things to come concerning my sons. Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. So if you read other translations, ask of me what my plan is and what I'm doing. Why would God want us to know what he's doing? Because he's going to do it through us. We're the church. He's the head. We're the body. Your head thinks, I want to go to work, and then your body has to carry that out. Same way with Jesus. He has a plan. He wants to do something, but he's got to do it through his body. So he said, ask of me the things come, because we have to cooperate with him. And if we don't know what he's doing, we're not going to be working with him. So I've been praying about that. Lord, you said, ask of me the things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of your hands, command ye me. And then I say, Lord, you said in your word that you won't do anything unless you reveal it to your servants, the prophets. So we're asking you reveal to whoever you want to reveal it to. Show what you're doing. What are you doing in the earth? Because people are all confused. Preachers are all confused about what God's doing and so forth. And so with that in mind, I want to preach on something tonight. Preach, whatever. Here in 1 John chapter number 1. So much has been going on the inside of me along this line. I don't think I'd be able to, what God's been doing in my prayer life and talking to me about, I don't think I could get out 3% of it tonight. But let's get it started at least. Let's look at here, 1 John chapter number 1, the epistle, not the gospel, the epistle, 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, heard of Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light. Yes. Yes. Say that out loud. God is light. We know that God is love, don't we? And it says here, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. None. No darkness at all. Then he said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In other words, us with God and God with us. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't know if you've ever thought much about verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood cleanses us from everything else we don't see yet. That's what he's saying. Somebody said, oh, I might be wrong somewhere. Well, if you haven't seen it yet, don't get all anxious about it. Be most interested in the light you already have. Don't worry about what you don't know yet. You know. So, you know, when it comes to light, when it says God is light, he's not talking about the light of education, the light of science or computers or whatever. That's increasing in the earth. Daniel said in the last days, knowledge shall increase. Knowledge shall increase. And we're seeing that. And how many of you know the more it increases, the more knowledge increases, the easier life gets. I mean, computers and communication systems and transportation systems and, you know, I'm looking at getting another vehicle. Mine's getting older. And I'm looking even at electric vehicles. I'm like, whoa, these are pretty cool. Yeah. Somebody said, Pastor, don't. I'll beat you on 0 to 60. I'm not saying I'm going to get one. I'm just saying I've been looking at them. And the fastest cars in the world from 0 to 60 right now are electric vehicles.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's true. Yes, sir.
So I'll get one and sit you down beside me and say, let's go. No, I don't even know if I'm going to get one. I'm just saying I'm looking at them. But the inventions and the technology and the things that are happening, it's just getting amazing.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible said, Daniel said, in the last days, knowledge would increase. But see, right, if you study the subject of light in the Bible, he's not talking about the light of education. He's talking about the light of the knowledge of God. Spiritual revelation. Revelation knowledge. That's what the word light means in the Bible. If you could look at hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, that use this term light. But yet many people have never thought much about it, what it is. They just, all they know is because they're about an inch deep spiritually. You know, or a quarter of an inch deep spiritually. All they know, and this is true, all right, but all they know is that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In a number of places in the Gospels, I am the light of the world. So when the Bible says light, that's all they think about is Jesus. Well, with that in mind, let's just look at something here. You're in 1 John. Just go over here to the second chapter. Notice what it says in this is the second chapter of 1 John. Look at verse number 9. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Whoa, wait. So there's more to the light than just Jesus. He that walketh... verse 10, he that loveth his brother abides in the light. Okay, so the light is more than just Jesus. The light, he calls love light. Walking in love is walking in light.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
Well, God is love.
Yes, yes, he is.
So when we walk in love, we're walking in the light.
Yes.
My point is, the light is not just Jesus. Now, people paint pictures, or have painted pictures, of Jesus sitting at the Last Supper, and he's got a halo over his head. The Bible said there was nothing unusual about him that would make any man know that he was the Christ. In other words, by looking at him physically, he laid aside all that. Now, so the light, he said in John 1, chapter 1, a number of places, remember, said, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was Word with God, and Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. Without him was not anything made that was made, so forth and so on. And then it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He said, he that believeth on me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light The light. So we're looking. Yeah. Somebody said, when we say God is light here, and that we're to walk in the light, what are we talking about? We just. Does that just means walk with Jesus? Well, yeah, but that's too shallow.
Yeah.
Too shallow.
Yeah.
People are claiming to do that and walking in all sorts of craziness. What does the Bible say is light? Love is light. You could read that. We just read that right there. How about, for example, When it talks about walking in the light, the Bible says that Satan, Ephesians chapter number 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Now get this, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The darkness. This world. Is he talking about at nighttime when the sun goes down?
No.
The darkness of this world is spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. Can we take a little time and look at some things tonight? Spiritual darkness. Darkness is a kingdom. He has translated us, Colossians 1, out of the kingdom of darkness. Darkness is a spiritual kingdom, not a natural kingdom. Amen. And a man who is not born again is in darkness. The Bible said, Satan, the god of this world, blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest the light should shine unto them. Amen. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? So the darkness is a kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. Light is this kingdom of God. And light is the knowledge of God. It is the truth of God. When people have light, the reality of God has come to them. Paul persecuted Jesus. He had no light of who he was, but he met Jesus on the road to Damascus.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And he got the knowledge of who Jesus really was.
Yes, sir.
And he began to share that. And he mentions over and over again the mysteries that were revealed unto him. See, light is revelation knowledge. That's what light is. It's not. It's Jesus, yes, but it's revelation of Jesus. And it's revelation of the kingdom of God. And it only comes to those who are born again. I intended to follow a pattern of this, and I'm already off my pattern of how I was going to teach it. But the Bible says, let's go here in 1 John. You're in the epistle of 1 John. Let's go back to the Gospel of 1 John. I'm sorry, the Gospel of John. I'm talking about the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Let's notice the fourth verse. Let's see, I think I'm right. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, people read that and they're like, I have no clue what he's talking about. First of all, he's not talking about natural life. In him was natural life. Well, we all had that before we were born again. The Bible says, he that believeth on me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Everlasting life, 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 life. The world, the church world has majored on life in the flesh whenever the Bible majors on spiritual life. The rebirth or the regeneration of the spirit of man. He said, the old man passes away, all things become new. And John said it this way, we've passed from death unto life. We've passed from death unto life. That can't be natural death because none of us were physically dead. Now you're going to have to think deep with me tonight because I don't have the tolerance for... I want to just jump into something here. He said, they that believe in him should pass from death unto life, spiritual life. That means our spirits were quickened, made alive. Remember Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who were dead. Well, you mean we were dead in trespasses and sins. And another characteristic of spiritual death, where he said, you were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That's a characteristic of spiritual death. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's a characteristic of spiritual death. The spirit that now works in and among the children of disobedience. Spiritual death is more than just being separated from God, which it is. It's separated from, but it's being under the dominion and under the sway of the kingdom of darkness.
That's
Amen. The kingdom of darkness. But when a man's born again, he receives eternal life, and the light comes into his spirit. Oh, glory. That's what Jesus said. He'll not walk in darkness, but he'll have the light. Here, 1 chapter of John, verse 4. The light of life. Look at the 8th chapter, the 12th verse. Just kind of get everybody on the same page here. John chapter number 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, here's what we have referred to. He said, I am the light of the world. People just refer, and that's true. But people think that's the only thing the term light means in the Bible. Well, how can that be so? Because if you read in another passage of Scripture, I've got it written down here somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, I got it right here. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Talking to you and me. We're the light of the world. So it can't just be Jesus. Of course, Jesus came into us and has shined in our hearts.
Yes, sir.
It's another verse. Hallelujah. He's shined in our hearts. God who commanded the light. You ever read that passage of Scripture? Let me just go to it. I'm just going to read it. 2 Corinthians 4. You don't have to turn away from John 8. I got so many Scriptures going. You don't. But 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, talking about back at creation, hath shined in our hearts. Hath shined. Not gonna shine. Hath already shined into our hearts. Amen. To give the light. What is the light? Of the knowledge. Oh, so the light is knowledge of God. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So light is not just Jesus. Yeah. It's what happens in the spirit of man when Jesus comes into the spirit of man.
Yeah. That's good.
Yes, he's born again and receives the light of life. Yeah. Of eternal life. Yeah. When eternal life came into your spirit, light came into your spirit.
Yes,
knowledge of God came into your spirit.
Yes,
glory to God. Somebody said, how do you know God? Not in my head.
Right.
I don't know God with my head. I know him in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just things people say, I'm going to do this and that. And in my heart, I just know God's not going to go for that.
Yeah.
I know God won't go for that. I know God.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Come on.
Amen.
Well, how do you know that? Because I got the light.
Exactly.
Now, that, okay, 1 John, I mean, the 8th chapter of John, you were there. Jesus said in verse 12, he spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Okay, let's keep on reading. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I've wanted to teach on this for so long, I'm just busting on the inside. Shall have the light, the illuminate. When you read light, think illumination.
Yes.
When we turn the lights on in here, it illuminates the room.
Yes.
So whenever a man's born again, that's when he receives life.
Yes.
Life, the eternal life. Man emphasizes natural life. The Bible emphasizes spiritual life. That the life of God that comes into the spirit of man.
Yes, sir.
The nature of God.
Yes.
The presence of God. The Holy Spirit himself.
Yes.
And it comes into the spirit of man and quickens that inner man. And he becomes alive again unto God. Where Adam sinned and was separated from God. All of us sin came short of the glory. And then we were born again and came back into fellowship with God. We're now alive unto God. Our spirits are not estranged from him anymore. Our spirits know God. Because the spirit of God came into us to teach us the things of God. Don't say I don't know. Say I have the knowledge of the light.
Yes.
Of life.
That's right.
I have the light of eternal life.
Yes.
I know. I have an unction and I know. The anointing's in me. He teaches me.
Yes.
Your head might not know. See, when you say, I don't know, you're saying out of your head. Your head might not know, but that's not where the light comes. Well, first of all, it comes to your spirit. And then it'll float up to your head and your head will go, oh.
Yeah.
Sometimes God says, do this. And I'm like, okay. But I have no knowledge of why I'm doing it. What on earth am I doing this for? And I walk a few steps, and all of a sudden it comes clear. Oh! Because the Bible said in Psalm 36, I don't remember the verse, in thy light shall we see light. So one of the principles of light is walk in what you have and more will come.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Walk in what you already know. So the light of life, that's that term he uses there, the light of life, the light of eternal life, the illumination that comes into the spirit of man when he's born again. That's another way of saying that.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we know God. We know right from wrong.
Yeah.
People say, I don't know if that's right or wrong. You sure do. Don't talk like that.
You do.
Don't. You're talking out of your flesh. You're talking out of your head. People want to, compartmentalize their lives, and they want to, circumstantially decide whether it's right or wrong. No, it's either right or wrong. It's either light or darkness.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. So when light comes into the spirit of man, okay, now go back to Psalms chapter number, Psalms is all of them. Amen. Psalm 18 and verse number 28. The psalmist David said, for thou wilt light my candle, O Lord. Thou wilt enlighten my darkness. Somebody said, well, Jesus is the light of the world. Yeah, and he comes into the spirit of man to illuminate man's spirit.
Yeah.
Now, you know Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So when he said, thou wilt light my candle, I believe Psalm 18 here, when he said, thou wilt light my candle, Psalm 18:28, I believe he's prophesying about the new birth. Amen. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said the light of life. When you got born again, light came into your spirit. What do you mean light? You mean you saw a flash bulb go up? No. You
illumination
came into the eyes of your understanding. There's things you know that your head hasn't caught up with yet, but your heart knows them. Isn't that right? Now, John 3:3. Go over to John chapter number 3, verse number 3. I'm taking just sometimes I almost go home and say, Lord, how am I ever going to get certain things out? There's just so much to it. Look at John 3, verse number 3. Remember, this is whenever the man Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was trying to keep other people from seeing him. Asking Jesus, basically he said, we know you're a teacher, come from God, verse number 2. And Jesus answered and said unto him, now he hadn't asked anything about the new birth. Nicodemus hadn't asked anything about the new birth. He probably didn't know anything about it because he was confused whenever Jesus said what he said. But Jesus answered the real question that he had. Jesus answered, verse 3, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, when he says verily, verily, you better pay attention. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again. Except a man be born again, what? He cannot see. Oh, underline that. Underline that. Cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot what?
See.
What does it take to see?
Light.
Unless a man's born again, unless a man's spirit is illumined, unless a man's spirit is receives eternal life, he cannot see certain spiritual things, including the kingdom of God. How many of you ever read the Bible before you were born again? Did you ever read the Bible? Some people read it, just trying to religiously figure it out or whatever. And they are as dumb as a post. They read things and they bring out certain things. They're as dumb as a post. You know what I'm talking about? I actually, one news broadcaster one night, I was watching the news one, this is probably 10 years ago, watching the news, and he said the dumbest thing. He said some of the dumbest things about the Bible. Said the dumbest things. He's not even born again. Religious. Cultured. Refined. Dresses up nice. But spiritually dead. Has no light. So I write him a letter. I emailed him. And told him, you called Jesus a liar tonight. That was the title of my email. And I explained to him how dumb he was. Because of what he said. He thought it sounded intelligent. But he's in the dark. He's spiritually in the dark. He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't know Jesus. Doesn't know God. Doesn't know the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost walked past him in the middle of the night with a light bulb on top of his head. He wouldn't recognize the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Spiritually dead.
Amen.
People talk about, you know, psychics and so forth. They are enlightened ones. The only enlightened ones on the earth are born again believers. All the rest are spiritually in the dark. They're in the dark. They're in the kingdom of darkness. Under the prince of the power of the air. Under the rulers of the darkness of this world. Amen. And darkness is producing more and more perversions and more stupidity and more confusions and more dumb people and more.
Come on.
They're going from, they're deceiving and being deceived. Going from one degree of deception to another. We're going from glory to glory and from one degree of light to another degree of light. And it's just like there's two different people. I mean, you get around sinners and they are as dumb as a post. They might be educated. They might know a lot about science or something like that. But they don't know a thing about God.
Come on.
Isn't that right? There's a remedy for that. Be born again. Hallelujah. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again. He cannot. Didn't say he can try and maybe he can. But he cannot. He cannot see what? Okay, the kingdom of God. Go back to Luke chapter number 17. We're just going to line upon line tonight. Luke 17. Jesus said in verse number 20 and verse number 21. Because the disciples, some people were there. These weren't disciples. Excuse me. The Pharisees. They demanded of, he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He answered them, said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. Let's define that. The Williams translation says visible display. Another, if you look up the word observation, it literally means optical evidence. In other words, this is not a natural kingdom. The kingdom of God comes not with observation or optical evidence or visible. It's not a visible kingdom. You know, a visible kingdom, you can see where the borders are. You can see armies and city governments and state governments and, you know, federal government buildings and employees working in the government. You can see all the natural things. But the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of light, which we're in, which we've been translated out of darkness into this new kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Amen. This kingdom is not visible. Isn't that right? It's not a natural kingdom. So you can't see a spiritual kingdom, this spiritual kingdom, you can't see the spiritual kingdom of God unless you're born again. That's what Jesus said. Isn't that what he said? And so, this kingdom is seen and operated in by faith. And it's faith that sees the invisible. It's faith that sees the invisible. Amen? Not with physical eyes, but with the eyes of the spirit of man on the inside. Which have to be enlightened to see it. Spiritual things. You don't understand spiritual things unless you have the revelation of it. Now, there's two kinds of knowledge in the earth. There's sense knowledge, which is what, knowledge that comes to you through your five physical senses. Yeah. But there is revelation knowledge. Yeah. Satan is the god of this world. Remember how it says the god of this world. Notice it's very key why he said it the way he said it. The god of this world blinds the minds of them that believe not. Blinds the minds. That's the light of the gospel of the glory of God should shine on them. So he blinds the minds of them that believe not. Who does?
Satan.
What did it call him? The god of this world. The god of sense knowledge. There's been things I've been trying to say. I'm just going to say them. You say, my head doesn't understand that. Don't get this with your head. Get it with your heart. Don't get it. Don't try to catch it with your head. Your head won't figure out what I'm talking about. What we're talking about is revelation knowledge. Satan, all spiritual warfare, all the enemy's efforts to try to hinder God in the earth, because God is light.
Yes.
And the way he's trying to hinder God is by keeping people in the dark.
Yes.
Satan's trying to hinder God. Satan's trying to hinder the kingdom of God. He's trying to hinder the people of God.
Right.
And there's one way that he does it, and really only one way, and that is keep them in the dark.
Yeah.
Keep them out of the knowledge of God. Keep them out of revelation knowledge.
Yeah.
Hold them in sense knowledge.
Yeah.
That's what tests, trials, trouble, you know, circumstances and all that is about. To try to get your attention, to distract you and get you, hold your attention on sense knowledge where Satan is God. Satan will rule over you in the area of sense knowledge. But the way you rule over him is hold him in the light. Hold the light up to him. Because 1 John 1:5 says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness comprehends it not.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
It cannot overcome the light. So keep holding the light up to it. Keep the way he's trying to keep you in defeat is holding you in sense knowledge. Hold it, which is holding you in the dark. Sense knowledge doesn't tell you everything. Sense knowledge won't tell you by his stripes you were healed. You know what I'm talking about. Sense knowledge won't tell you you're already victorious. You're already seated. You already have defeated the enemy. That he's already spoiled. The Bible says, Paul said, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. And he said, we speak it among them that are perfect. That doesn't mean never sin. That means mature. We talk the mysteries of God. Mysteries have to do with this light, and we'll talk about that as we get to it. But the mysteries of God have to do with revelation knowledge that sense knowledge won't tell you. Which the god of this world, he won't tell you. He'll never tell you, I'm already defeated. He'll never tell you that. He'll never tell you, I know you're already healed. He'll never tell you that. He just cops teeth. See, look, see. What's he doing? Holding you in sense knowledge. Why? Because that's the only way he can whoop you.
Come on.
The only way.
Come on.
The only way. All spiritual battles are between light and darkness. Now, I don't mean you got to fight the darkness. Do you have to, if you go into a dark room, do you have to curse the darkness to get it to leave?
No.
All you got to do, turn on the light. Turn on the light. You know, scientists now, in the natural, see, spiritual things are illustrated by natural things. Scientists now tell us that darkness is not actually a substance. Light is a substance. All darkness is the lack of light. That's all it is. You know, at nighttime you think it's dark. But really, it's not absolutely dark. You can still see however far in front of you, you know. Because there's less light. That's why people trip and stumble. You know, making decisions that they shouldn't make. If they were in the right mind, they wouldn't make that decision. What do you mean in the right mind? I mean in the mind of Christ. The mind of God that comes up out of the Spirit. The illumination of the Spirit of God. This is huge. This is what spiritual battles are all about. If you'll work in this area, I mean to hold yourself in the light and not walk in darkness, you'll be completely victorious. Satan won't be able to touch you with a finger. He'll try. Don't mean you won't have tests or trials. But I'm saying he can't defeat you. He just can't. Sickness is darkness. Poverty is darkness. It comes out of darkness spiritually. That's all it is. It's a lack of light. People that live in that, that's what it is, lack of light, lack of light. You hear people talking all kinds of darkness all the time. Amen. You just know they don't have light. You don't curse them. You just know you got to get the light to them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Satan's beating them up. We got to curse the devil. We got to fight the devil. Not bite it. Fight the devil. No, just got to bring the light to them. Once the light shines, devil's heyday's over. He's done. Now he'll fight them, try to get that light away from them. Again. Amen. Okay. So now notice. Verily I say unto you, back to John 3, verse number 3. Verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Jesus said in Luke 17, the kingdom of God cometh not with visible display. Let's read verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Woo, there's a whole lot of revelation right there. So you can't see this kingdom with physical eyes. You see it with the eyes of your spirit. Now, the eyes of your spirit can only be enlightened through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody said, well, it's through the Word. Yeah, and if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you won't understand what you're reading. That's what happens to a spiritually dead man. That news guy I was telling you about, he read something in the Bible, but he still was completely in the dark. He didn't have the Holy Spirit to say, this is what that means. Amen?
Amen.
Some Christians read the Bible and don't listen. See, you can read something, but don't listen to the Holy Ghost. Remember, Smith Wigglesworth said, some read it in Greek, some read it in Hebrew. I read it in the Holy Ghost. I let the Holy Ghost tell me what that means. Woo, glory be to God. And so, what Jesus is saying here, the kingdom of God is within you. The light that God shines in your spirit, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a natural kingdom. And you can't see it unless you're born again. It's seen and operated in by faith. The kingdom of God is in you. So you see it on the inside of you. By the aid of the Holy Spirit through revelation knowledge, not sense knowledge. What I'm talking about, this revelation knowledge, this light is the source of faith. That's where faith comes from. That's the substance of faith. No light, no substance. Faith is the substance. Faith has to have some kind of spiritual substance. And light, in the natural, they say, is actually a materiality. It's a substance. In fact, they're now translating data on it. Information. Scientists now say they believe, and I think they're right. Now we don't want them to get a hold of this because they'll mess the world up, sure enough. But because sinful man messes stuff up. But they now believe they could theoretically, it should be possible to transfer matter on light. Materiality. You know, take that table and transfer it to another city or something. They said, theoretically, it should be possible. I believe it is possible. Scientifically, you'd probably do that. Because light is actually substance, and they're already translating data and information. In fact, Jesus said, spiritually, this is the way he transfers things to us. John 16 talks about 13 and 14 down and through there. When the Spirit of truth has come, he'll show you all things. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, I said, he'll take the mind and show them unto you. The Amplified says, declare, disclose, and transmit. The Holy Ghost, through revelation knowledge, transmits, declares it, number one, discloses it, that's revelation, number two, and transmits it. How does he transmit it? On light. By declaring, disclosing. Disclosing means seeing it. Unveiling it. That means light. You see it. And transmit. Amplified. Amplified. Declare, disclose, transmit. Am I going too fast?
No.
Your heart's getting this, even though your head might not be.
That's true. Yes, sir.
Amen. Somebody said, I don't understand how God could transmit all things that the Father hath. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, I said, he'll take a mind and declare, disclose, and transmit it. He transmits things.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, I don't understand how he does it is through the light. Psalm 119, 135, the entrance of his word gives
light.
Psalm 107, 20, he sent his
word.
word and did what? Oh. Healing substance from heaven through light, through the light of the word, heals your body. He transfers heavenly materialities, including healing power, on the light of the word. Because the light is the source of your faith. Faith is the substance. The substance of the, if you got faith through the light, you got light, your light eyes were enlightened, you've got faith, and that's the substance that transfers it to your body, transfers it to your situation. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! So that the kingdom of God is within you. You can't see it with eyes of your natural eyes, with observation. It's within you. Amen. You see it with spiritual eyes. And so you see it on the inside with the aid and the help of the Holy Spirit through what's called in the Bible revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is not knowledge. It's not sense knowledge. Sense knowledge comes through the five physical senses. God can impart something into your spirit and you know it through the word by the aid of the Holy Spirit and you know it and your head never has yet figured it out. Now this is how you live in things that you can't, you experience things in life that you yourself couldn't produce. It's not of you. You're not the source of it. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let's go over there. 2 Corinthians. I was going to... This is in no way... I don't know if there's any in systematic theology or anything, but I'm just sharing it as it comes up out of my spirit. Some of these things, you'll have to just say amen to them even when your head goes, huh? When I'm sharing, your spirit's going off on the inside.
Yes, sir. Yeah, for real.
He knows what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Your head might be going,
oh, no.
No, sir.
I don't have any cavities, do I?
No, you don't.
But your spirit's getting it.
Yes,
2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse number, this verse we quoted, verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's go back to verse. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds. How did he do that? Through darkness. Spiritual darkness. And blind their minds. Their minds are and their spirits are darkened, actually. Which believe not. He blinded the mind. God of this world blinds the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel. Light. Of the glorious gospel of Christ. Who is the what? Jesus, he's talking about, is the image of God. The image of God should shine unto them. For we preach not, we'll come back to that. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. This is this knowledge of God, this revelation. Like, for example, what Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, experienced on the road to Damascus. So, God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. So that's what this is. This is knowledge. Revelation knowledge is really what it is. Of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 7. For we have this treasure. What treasure? The light. The light. We have this treasure, this revelation of God. Which, by the way, Jesus said, who do men say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you. He didn't get that information through five physical senses. He got it from the Holy Spirit directly into his spirit. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed unto thee. I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I'm going to build my church. Upon what rock? Revelation of who he is. Upon Jesus? Yeah, but really revelation of who Jesus is. Revelation. That's how Jesus is building his church. Revelation. That's how the church progresses. Revelation. That's how the church goes backwards. Darkness. Brother Higgin brought a whole lot of light and people are backing away from it. That's dangerous. It's dangerous to come up to light and not walk in it. But so the kingdom, the reason Satan fights this so much is because, Revelation, I mean, the reason he fights it so much is this is how the church progresses. This is how the church moves forward. Light is always and only ever progressing or decreasing. Nobody stays stagnant in the amount of light they have. Well, what if I get light and don't walk in it? You're going to go backwards. You're going to go backwards. Jesus said so. We got a whole lot we could share. We don't have time. Anyway, so, hallelujah. He said, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This, while we're still here in the flesh, in other words. We got this treasure of this light, the knowledge of who God is. In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, the word "the" should be its excellency. The excellency. The excellency is its excellency. In other words, the excellency of the light. The word excellency means transcending, unparalleled, prevailing, and incomparable. So this light transcends, prevails over, and is not compared to anything. Nothing can conquer it. Jesus said that. No, light shines in darkness. Nothing can overcome it. The light prevails over everything and has power in it to do things that are not of you. Isn't that what he said? That the excellency of the power, or it's this, the excellency of this light. Can you see that? This light has power in it to do things that are not of you. You got to admit it. You can't get distracted counting lights tonight. You're going to miss totally what we're saying.
Come on, yeah.
I'm just giving you little nuggets. You can take these little nuggets and meditate on them, and things will start exploding. I've got things in my life that have I wouldn't have been able to produce for a whole life of effort. All my life, the effort of all my life. All my abilities, I wouldn't be able to. Yet they're in my life right now. That's not of me. It's not of me. People see the fruit, but they don't know how it came. And they want what we were walking in, but they can't have it without the light we have.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying God's holding the light back. I don't mean they can't have because God's holding the light. No. He's not holding himself back at all. He just simply needs us to receive the light when it comes. Glory. Hallelujah. Now let's go back here. We're just kind of digging around in this subject. Is that all right? Verse 4, the God of this world's blinded the mind. So now you know what the devil's up to. Man, do I ever struggle sometimes with this. It's like so many people come up to light and back away from it. It's a struggle for me. I have to watch myself. But the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now that he doesn't just say, okay, they got saved, so I'm not going to try to blind their minds. The light comes into us when we're born again, but he's going to still keep working on our minds. And try to hold us in the mental realm and the physical fleshly realm to where there's nothing but darkness.
Right.
Someone said, I don't know what to do. That's because you're looking in the realm of darkness. See where I'm pointing? You're looking in the realm of darkness. I've used the illustration. If I'm looking up, we don't have files on Leanne, but I'm saying if we had files on everybody in the church, well, we've got your membership and all that, but I mean, you know, good and bad file. We don't have a good and bad file. But if I'm looking up a file on Leanne, And I'm saying, pull that out. I want to see how, you know, naughty or nice here. I'm just kidding. We don't have it. And she looks and looks and can't find. She said, I can't find. I said, look, it's got to be there. Look again. And guess what? If we're looking there 3 weeks later, Somewhere we got to decide the answer is not there.
Right.
I mean, what we're looking for is not there. But that's what people are doing. I just don't know what to do. And they keep going through the files of their mind, going through the files. The answer is not up there. The answer is not up there. You got to look down here where the light. So he doesn't stop trying to keep people in darkness in their minds just because they got born again. Now notice, the light, God, this world blinds the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Oh, Jesus. The Amplified says the gospel of the glory of Christ. Someone said the gospel is about Jesus. Yes, and his glory.
Yeah.
The good news of the glory. We've been brought back to the glory. Who is the image of God. Talking about Jesus is the image of God. Isn't that right? But I want you to notice that the light has that image in it. Ah! The light has images in it. Did you see that?
Yes.
I heard recognition right here. I hear a little bit of recognition over here. The light has images in it. Ooh. I see. When you say I see, what'd you see? You saw an image. Paul saw Jesus in the image of his own making. Just a man, just a deceiver, just somebody, you know, some religious cult leader that I'm talking about what Paul thought. You know, just, and we've got to kill all these Christians. They're messing up the Jewish religion. And, you know, and he saw him in his own in the image of his own imagination. One created by religious teachings. Sometimes I want to, I hear preaching and I say, would the real Jesus please stand up? Because that's not the one I know. That's not the one of the Bible. People got him all different ways. They've created in their imagination Jesus in their own image. Of their own imagination. Through religious teachings or anything else in the dark. Darkness creates false images. You ever been out in the woods in the dark? I mean, it was light when you were out when you went out there, but then it got dark. I go hunting sometimes, and you know, in the light you can easily see. Oh, that's a stump. That's not a deer. But as it gets darker, you're scanning. It's not completely dark yet. You can still see, but you're scanning, and you go. Wait a minute. There was a stump there a while ago. You had an image, but it was distorted. You can see something. That's what religion does. There's just enough darkness there. They know him a little bit, but they got him in their own imagination. And people say all kinds of things, and you want to go, not true, not true. Amen. Tell your neighbor, this is good. This is helping you. The light has an image in it. Now, it has the real Jesus in it. The light has the real Jesus in it. And the light of the Word produces the reality of Jesus. Not who people say he is, but what this says he is. What the Word says. Who the Bible says he is. Amen? This is what all spiritual battles are over. All spiritual battles. Remember, Paul said, what is it, Hebrews 10 something, 42? I could be wrong about the verse. He said, you remember that after you were first enlightened, you endured a great trial of affliction. Why? Because they were enlightened.
Yeah.
Duh. I didn't sign up for this. Well, it's nothing personal. It's not about you. It's about the light. Let me get a testimony here. How many of you, when you first started coming to this church and getting light, you hit that opposition? See? Yeah, look, I mean, just almost 100%. People all the time come and they hit that and they're like, I don't know what that is. Bye-bye.
Yep, that's what happened.
Remember Paul said he was caught up to heaven, this was 2 Corinthians 12:7, and received revelation, which is not possible from, not with, without, that's why he prayed for utterance, pray for me that utterance begin, because he needed to get that message out, not possible without the help of the Holy Spirit to get this out, get what he was shown and the revelation he got when he was caught up to the third heaven. And he said, because of the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me the messenger of Satan.
Yes.
To buffet me. So when you get revelation, is Satan going to stand by and go, congratulations? And he announces to all his little imps, leave them alone now because they got the light. No. He's going to go, that we can't overcome that, so we got to get him away from that. And he'll throw up all kinds of tests, trials, distractions, squirrely people who will come out of the woodwork. On church,
so true.
On church night.
Yes. It's so true.
Just stuff. Just stuff.
Come on.
And goofy people.
Yeah. Everywhere.
That he, you're not a goofy person, but goofy people that he poked, and they went, and came over to your lawn, or came over to your cubicle at work. You're laughing because you know what I'm talking about. And you used to fall for it. But you started getting a clue. How many of you started getting a clue? It's like, it's always right before camp meeting. It's always. You know what I'm talking about. Or if he can't oppose the ones that hear, he'll try to oppose the message, the one bringing the message. And Paul said, because of the abundance of revelation, there was given unto me the messenger of Satan, the buffet. What was he coming after Paul for? Because of that revelation. All spiritual warfare is over that revelation. So he won't congratulate you. Amen. So the light, it'll produce an image, it'll produce a reality of the word within your spirit. That's what I mean by an image. You'll see with the eyes of your inner man, you'll see a reality that you hadn't seen before. The word will give you the reality that you already, it'll give you a past tense reality, it'll give you a past tense redemption. It'll give you an in Christ image of yourself. You don't see yourself in your own light anymore. In the light of, I made so many mistakes. I'm just so unworthy. I'm just so, you know, God could not love me. I failed so many times. That's the image. That's the image of your own imagination created in Satan's dark room. Created in the dark. Man, do I have another 14 hours? I feel like I'm just getting started. We're gonna wrap this up. So he won't congratulate you. You're going to encounter opposition when you step forward into the light. He's not going to congratulate you that you go to a word church and you're hearing the truth. But guess what? If you'll stick with the light will pull you through. Because Satan can't overcome it. Now, what he's trying to get you to do is let go of it, throw it away, say, well, man, if you know, going there and getting the word like that's going to bring all this hell up. And everywhere around my life and all this stuff, and I got relatives coming out of the woodwork acting squirrely, and I got this happening, this going on, and all of a sudden there's an attack against my finances, an attack against my marriage, and now my mind's being bombarded with thoughts. And I mean, if this is what it's all about, then I'm out of here. And Satan went, hee-hee, it worked.
See?
We got to stop falling for this stuff. Don't we? God is light, and he's trying to hinder God in the earth by keeping people in the dark. Amen. Now you can tell what the devil's focused on. Can you see that? Praise be to God. He's diligent about it, isn't he? But see, the devil doesn't want you to see the reality, the image of God, the image of the proper image of God, the proper image of Christ, the proper image of yourself in Christ. He wants to keep lying to you and keeping you in the dark. But you just keep answering him with the light. Just keep answering him with the light. Amen. Amen. And this is how Jesus is building his church. And this is what Satan can't prevail against. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll share this, and you can stand with me. The word mysteries in the Bible, in the New Testament primarily. You can stand to your feet. That'll help me quit. The word mysteries. If you go home and you get one of your Bible programs out and just put in the word mystery or mysteries, you'll find that it's mentioned. Oh, I didn't count them. Over and over and over again, Paul mentions mysteries. Remember whenever Jesus told the parable of the sower that we so, you know, talk about so much, they didn't understand it. And in Mark 4, Jesus had the disciples come to him afterwards privately and said, tell us the parable of the sower. Jesus said, it's given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. The mystery. What is a mystery? In the natural thinking of mystery, a mystery is something that's hidden that we don't understand. You know, you watch a mystery movie. It's like, who killed him? Yeah, who did? Oh, it's him. And 5 minutes later in the movie, he's like, nope, it's not him. You know? That's why it's called a mystery. That's the way it is, and that's what it means in the natural. In the Bible, it doesn't mean that. You could almost always translate mystery as revelation knowledge that is only known to those who have the Holy Spirit. To others on the outside, it's a mystery. Jesus said, unto you it's given unto the... To, you know, they ask about the parable of the sower. Unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without... Mark 4:11, I believe. Them that are out of doors, literally. All these things are done in parables. In other words, they hear him tell a story and it's like, I don't understand what he's talking about. But those that are in the kingdom, those outside the kingdom don't get it. Right? You can tell them things and they're like, they don't get it. You can tell some Christians things and they don't get it. Because they're outside of their spirit in their head. Which is, they're born again. I don't mean they're not born again, not in the kingdom of God, but it's outside of the kingdom of God. When you're in your head, you're outside of the kingdom of God. You know what I mean by that? Not that they're not born again, but they're just not walking in the... In, the kingdom is within them. They're outside of here. So... Mysteries, that term's used all through the New Testament. Paul mentioned over and over and over about the mystery that had been revealed unto him. The word mystery is from a Greek, from things that happened in the Greek culture where they had secret societies. They got things, stuff like this today, where people had to be initiated into that society before they would get secret information. That's what he's... The Greeks had stuff like that. And Paul is basically saying a mystery is not something that no one knows. You know, in our sense of the word, our use of the word mystery, it's something that we're not in on. Like if you watch a mystery movie, we're not in on who did it, you know. That's not the way the Bible uses it. The word the word mystery is something that we are in on. Because we come into the kingdom of God. We've been we're the initiated ones. Do you get that? We're in the circle where these things are shared. Other people hear us talk 5 minutes and say, I have no idea what they're talking about, and they move on. I'm sure there's been plenty of people tonight clicked on, I have no idea what he's talking about. Move on. On live stream. But to us, this is like, woo! And people go, what?
Yeah.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
Yeah.
Not held from them,
yeah.
But anybody who doesn't have the Holy Spirit doesn't get it. Uh-huh. But we do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
So we're in.
Yeah.
And the word is preached. We go, oh yeah, there's my answer. And people go, huh?
Yeah.
And we make it through things other people don't get through, and they go, how you do that? We go, it's a secret.
Yeah.
I mean, you could try to tell them, and they go.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
You know, you ever seen a dog doesn't know what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
You can see people doing that sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you change the subject, talk about the kids and the weather.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're in like Flynn. We're in like Flynn. We're in the kingdom of God. We're in the light. We're in the mystery. We're in the you could almost translate, you could almost take the word mystery and put answers. Every single time. Unto you it's given to know the answers of the kingdom of God. How'd you get through that?
Yeah.
I got the answer. But where'd you get the answer? From in here. From the Holy Ghost on the inside. Woo! Glory! Glory! Glory to God. Lord. I could dig in this for another 3 hours. I got a little bit of it out, but I got enough out that you can start meditating on some of these things. One more verse. You're being very kind to give me some time. Go to Psalm 25:14. Stay standing just to stay in a different position. Psalm 25:14. I have been on this verse for months. Ooh, Jesus. I want to almost write a book on it. It's getting so big on the inside of me. Psalm 25:14, and I want to read it in the Amplified. 25:14. Amplified. Okay, you ready? The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, worship Him. He will show them His covenant and reveal unto them His deep inner meaning. Secret, notice secret, and show them. And here's two words to underline. The secret, there's the Amplified. The secret, and then go down there, have they. The secret, have they. We read this and we go, there's secrets I just need to get. But this verse said, the secret, have they. See, that's the way you need to read the Bible, that you actually have this.
Yes.
Not, I don't know.
Yes. Thank you.
I just don't know how to get out of this test and trial. The secret have they.
Yes, sir.
I have it.
I have it.
Hallelujah. Who's they? Those that revere, worship Him. In other words, He's talking about His people who love and obey Him, serve Him, love Him, worship Him. Honor Him,
yes,
let Him speak to them, so forth and so on. So the secret have they. Well, somebody said, but I don't know what to do. Well, it's a secret. You have to go to where secrets are. Where are secrets? In the place of, in the secret place. Where He shares His secrets. Where is that? That's the place of worship. That's the place of fellowshipping with Him through His Word. I can't tell you the times I fellowship. I just meditate on the Word, and I'm not even thinking about something. I'm needing to make a decision about. I'm meditating on the Word, and completely on a different subject. Bloop, there comes. You ever heard that? Bloop. There's the answer. I'm like, oh, whoa, yeah. Thank you, Lord. I see it. Glad I got in the secret place today. Glory. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Anyway, that's like 1.5% of what I've been getting out of that verse.
So good.
Lift your hands and thank God for the Word. Thank you, Father, for the Word. Thank you, Father. 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 Praise you, Father. Thank you for light. Thank you for direction. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for the answers. Thank you, Father. These things are in fellowship with you. Hallelujah. We choose to walk in the light we get so that more light will continue to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, when answers come, you have to consecrate to it. If answers come and you say, well, I'll just let that alone. No more light comes. I've been there. Know what that's like. Got to go back and say, yes, Lord. Remember me telling you about how God dealt with me, the pastor, and I was like, blah, 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 blah. Boy, it got rough. You know what I mean? You're stumbling around, tripping over stuff, making mistakes, messing your life up. And then I got a clue. I'm going back to the last place I knew what he said to me. And boy, it all turned around. Hallelujah. Life is supposed to be one continual progression. But it only happens through continuing to walk in the light. Continuing to walk in the light. Walk in the light. Life will be exciting if you keep on walking in the light. It gets dull, boring, and humdrum. And you become dull, boring, and humdrum whenever the light comes and you don't do anything with it. Life stagnates right there. I decide I'm not living that way. I'm not waiting for anybody else. I'm walking in the light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.